Radio 1.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. Katie Hannon sitting in for Joe again this week. 51551 is our text number. Now, we've been getting in some calls this week about the rules around having dogs off leashes. It's not a great day in Dublin today, but we've been having some lovely weather. And of course, a lot of people out and about with their dogs on beaches or in parks. People in touch, getting in touch with us saying they've been fined for not having their dogs on a lead, being quite shocked by that. Some people thinking these rules and bylaws are too extreme. Pather, you wouldn't agree with that. Do we have Pather?
Go ahead.
I think are we having a problem with that line with Pather? Okay, we'll go on because we want to talk to Sharon Tolan as well. Sharon, you're a councillor in Meath.
I am indeed, Katie. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. And of course, Meath has some beautiful beaches and some lovely parks.
Thank you.
What are the rules around dogs and leashes on in Meath?
Right, well, we currently have foreshore bylaws in relation to our beaches out here, and Meath County Council are proposing some amendments to those, which has kind of caused a bit of, I suppose, a backlash, as it were. One of those proposed amendments is that dogs should be on leads at all times on the beach here in Laytown, Battystown and Mornington. Currently, the bylaw requests that you have your dog under control at all times, which I believe is sufficient if it was enforced. It's just not being enforced. We haven't had any fines in relation to uncontrollable dogs out here on the beaches. And I just don't believe it's a huge problem. I think that to restrict people from walking their dogs off-leash all year round, 24/7, is over-restrictive and unfair. It's unfair on, you know, responsible dog owners, and it's unfair on the dogs themselves as well.
Do you have a dog yourself, Sharon?
I do.
What kind of a dog do you have?
Well, I just have a Chihuahua. But I did have a St. Bernard, so, you know.
So you know what it feels like to have a big dog with you?
I do, absolutely. And I wouldn't have taken my St. Bernard off the lead, to be honest with you, because he was a bit of a divil and didn't have, I wouldn't have had great control over him, so I just wouldn't have taken him off the lead. My dog, Holly, at the moment, has a great recall. She stays mainly by my side unless she's having a bit of a run around and a sniff, as all dogs do, with a bit of freedom. And I just believe, Katie, to be honest with you, we have a massive stretch of beach there with 6 kilometres. When the tide is fully out, we've acres and acres, and you could be down on that beach some days, especially in the winter maybe, or in the mornings, and you wouldn't meet another sinner. So I just think it's going too far to bring out this, to change this bylaw. If the current bylaw was enforced, there wouldn't be an issue, you know, and we have 3 beach wardens anyway, so they're there on hand throughout the summer months. And most responsible dog owners will not walk their dogs at busy times or through areas. We have a section of beach that is the bathing area, where the lifeguards are, and that's primarily where families would kind of set up their picnics or their blankets or whatnot, you know.
Okay, let me just put that. I think we have Pather back now. Are you there with us, Pather?
Indeed, yes, Katie, yes.
Sharon there saying the idea that you would always have to have your dog on a leash on a beach is too much, too extreme, and that, you know, responsible dog owners will keep their dogs under control.
Well, I couldn't disagree with Sharon in what she said. I really couldn't. I'm coming at this, Katie, as a, you know, I'm a doctor, a retired doctor myself, so I'm looking at it from just health aspects, and I totally agree with what Sharon has said. I think the problem is, she mentioned responsible dog owners, mm-hmm. and nobody's perfect, including myself and yourself, Katie. in the same with people who have dogs. I mean, you know, most of them are responsible dog owners, but some of them are not. And just the point that I would make on a health consideration is, a lot of people are actually not comfortable, totally comfortable around dogs, especially where dogs aren't on a leash. I mean, that's a reality. I couldn't tell you what proportion of the population would be like that, but I do know that is the case. And these people can become anxious and apprehensive when they see the dogs aren't on a leash, say on a beach or are around. I mean, I live near Howth Head here in Dublin. It's a beautiful place. And a
lot of dog walkers around Howth Head.
Oh, well, in fact, they absolutely. And, I mean, it's great to see that in ways. But, you know, I actually know some people. I don't want to exaggerate it, but I do know some people who won't walk on the local beach out here or on Howth Head because they know that dogs can run free. And as we all know, walking is a key part of a healthy lifestyle for both, may I say, dog owners and for non-dog owners. So I just think that I suppose I'm speaking on behalf of those people who, you know, perhaps they're a minority. I suspect myself it's a large minority who are in the category that I described. You know,
I'm thinking particularly, I suppose, people with young children would be concerned if they saw dogs, particularly bigger dogs.
Absolutely, Kay. I suppose there are two things at both extremes of life. You're absolutely correct talking about young children. And indeed, at the other extreme of life, older people, say people who have maybe a dodgy hip or a hip operation, and they're just very nervous of being hassled by a dog not on a leash, which sometimes happened, a dog jumping up on them and maybe knocking them over. That would apply to kids and to old people. The other problem about which there's no debate is dog dirt.
Well, I think there's plenty of debate about that.
Of course there is. I'm saying that you can't deny the fact that dog poo is not good for your health, and particularly the issue on a beach. That arises.
Absolutely.
Particularly on a beach, and especially where you'd have children, especially small children. You know what they're like. They play with the sand and they put their hands in their mouth, and if they come in contact with dog poo,
that's a serious health risk.
So I think that's a real issue. And like, in fairness to the dog warden service, there are very rational reasons why they're trying to have the regulations that they have. I think that point needs to be made. Certainly,
okay.
the poo thing is on beaches is an issue.
Okay, Pather, do stay with me, please, because I want to go to Jessica now, who actually had a conversation with a dog warden in recent days.
Right.
Jessica.
Hello.
You were walking your dog in Sandy Mount Strand.
Yeah.
Tell us what happened.
Basically, I was walking my dog and a neighbour's dog out, if you know Sandy Mount, the tide was out, far, far out near the water, and two men approached me, and I noticed them. They were within about, I don't know, 50 metres. I called the dog in. Both dogs were under control, put them on the lead, and then they said, are these your dogs? And if you're responsible for them, it's a €100 fine to have them off the lead. And I said, I wasn't aware of that. Is that the case all the time? Is there any time they're allowed on the beach off a lead? And they both said no. In Dublin County Council, they're never allowed on the beach off a lead, which was news to me. So there's two issues. Like, I do understand people who might not like dogs or want to be near them on the beach, and that's fine, and irresponsible dog owners. But I think they should have kind of maybe before 9 a.m. or after 9 p.m. kind of allocations, because it's important, and a lot of the people who use the beach are dog walkers, especially in the winter. And then the other issue is just, where are the clear guidelines as to where and when dogs are allowed? Like, there was no signage in Sandy Mount, and it's very hard to find. I've since looked it up on the internet, and it's just not clear as a dog owner.
And do you have to hand over the €100 on the spot?
No, it'll come in the post, apparently.
Right. So you're going to pay that, but you think, you should have been made aware, there should be an awareness or signage to let you know that that is the case.
Yeah.
But you also think that actually there should be some times of the day or times of the year when this rule would be relaxed.
Yeah. And it's not clear. I've looked it up, and some beaches say that they are dog friendly all the time or in the morning or certain months of the year. But again, I'd be nervous now. You know, I can't afford to have €100 every time I let my dog off the lead.
Katie, can I come back in there?
Yes, Sharon, please.
It would be down to each local authority to have their own foreshore bylaws or their own bylaws in relation to this. And certainly I have a lot of contact from people around Dublin and Fingal in particular who, you know, felt that their
changes in their bylaws to restrict dogs onto leads all times was very, very unfair and very, very swift. There wasn't a whole lot of public consultation, which is why I've tried to raise awareness in relation to the Meath County Council proposed changes so that people are aware that this is being proposed and that they'll make their submissions in time before the decision is made. This decision will have to come before the full council in October, where 40 councillors in Meath County Council will vote to either amend or not to adopt them.
Yeah, Sharon, I'm just looking at the draft Bettystown Laytown Beach Management Plan.
Yes.
And the section in relation to dogs. Dogs to be kept on a lead on the beaches all year round for comfort and safety of visitors, to prevent dog fouling, and for protection of birds in winter months at the River Nanny Estuary and Shore Special Preservation Area.
Well, in relation to the dog fouling, Katie, I mean, there are a lot of dog owners who have dogs on leads that won't pick up the dog foul, you know, so having them on leads is not going to deter a person who's just lazy about picking up their dog dirt.
But,
and again, beach wardens should be enforcing that and ensuring that it is picked up. We haven't had any fines, so to my knowledge, there's not a huge issue. In relation to the birds, The latest data from National Parks and Wildlife show that the bird population on our beaches has actually increased significantly over the last number of years, which would suggest that the status quo is not an issue, that our dogs and our horses on our beaches at the moment is not having an impact on wintering birds.
So where is it coming from then, this...
Well, it's coming from this Natura impact statement, and I just feel that it is extreme that the environment team have decided that this is a must, and they're kind of following suit with Dublin and Fingal. And I just think Dublin and Fingal got it wrong, and Meath County Council should not get it wrong. That we either have a time, you know, as your last caller said there, you know, have a time maybe before 11 a.m. Currently, our horses have to be off the beaches at 11 a.m. Now, there's also a proposed change to those foreshore bylaws in relation to the area that they can access the beach, which is going to have a massive impact on people who come out here to train their horses between 5 a.m. and 11 a.m. And again, you know, the horse industry is a massive industry for Meath. We have a number of stables, and it is going to have a massive impact.
But if we get back to the dogs issue and say there was some introduction of time zones where you could you were allowed to let your dogs run free, have a splash in the sea or whatever, would that not then deter maybe elderly people who might want to walk, or families with young children from going down to the beach at those times?
I know a large number of elderly people who can only walk their dogs off lead. You know, they drive down onto the beach and they take and their elderly dogs too, and they let their dog out of their car and they have a ramble on the beach and back into the car, and they really wouldn't have the capacity to even bend down to clip the dog on the lead, and you know, that's they've been doing it years, and it certainly hasn't caused any problems to date. And again, I would say responsible dog owners, if I see children, and a lot of children would run towards my dog. She's cute as a button.
If you do say so yourself.
Yeah. So I would always clip her on, bend down, make sure the child comes from the front to say hello, puts the hand out. You know, it's about education as well, Katie. You know, we don't have a great reputation for animal welfare in this country, and there's an awful lot of people kind of, you know, will buy a dog online, or, you know, or buy a dog at Christmas, and then they're tossed aside as if they're just items. You know, they have a mental health too, and it is good for them to be able to have a bit of freedom. So again, I would just say the 24/7, 12 months of the year is just too much.
Okay, stay with us please, Sharon. I want to go to Liz. Liz, you have a nice park there in Rush, and you like going out walking with your daughter.
Yes, it was on a Tuesday evening, a lovely evening, and this so happened I was walking on the main path. It's a lovely area. And I, walking along, I did see in the distance, you can enter from both ends, you know, both sides, and I did see a man, I sort of talking to my daughter, I did see him coming along, and he had a lead in his hand, but the dog was sort of romping beside him. And we went down parallel with me, he lunged.
He lunged?
It was a Labrador.
At you?
Yes. And he took me to the ground. Now, I'm not young, and I really did get a dreadful fright, but he couldn't get up either because he was lying on top of me. And but the dog owner did take him by the strap on his neck and pulled him aside, and he just said, "What'd you do that for?" And but I was still on the ground, so my dog was trying to lift me up, and he then put his hand out and he sort of helped me up, and he just said, "Take a deep breath, take a deep breath." And he just, I was sort of taking a breath because I was winded.
Winded, as they say, indeed, yeah. I'm sure you were.
And the next thing, he just ran off with the dog.
And did he apologise?
No, he just said, "Take a deep breath, are you all right?" And I was sort of nodding my head. I really was in shock. But anyway, he ran off with the dog and that was it. But I love dogs. I've nothing against dogs. I've never had any trouble with dogs. But this was one instance that I really didn't like. Now, he was a fairly big dog. He was a Labrador, you know.
I know, and they're big dogs, yeah.
But I did report to the police, and they said there's no law against. Now, I happened to say to the policeman, now, I wouldn't mind if said only there's a law against having dogs. No, I don't mind the small dogs. They romp around, they might yap, but they don't touch you. But this was a fairly big dog, and the police said there's no law against having a dog off the lead.
Well,
and that's it.
I wonder what is the situation in parks, because we know now that from Jessica that there is a bylaw against having a dog off a leash on all Dublin county beaches. So we must find out what is the story with parks. Is that similar law in place? And tell me, how were you after? Were you hurt?
I fell on my left side. And the dog was sort of on top of me, and it bruised all my hip, and my up along my left side is very sore, and my knee.
Well, you were very lucky, Liz, weren't you?
But because he didn't that could bite have me had, now, you know.
I know, but I mean, that could then the fall could have had serious consequences.
Yes,
for
yes, of course, but I am really sore after it.
So this wasn't as the way you were describing it wasn't like a vicious dog or a dog.
No,
that was,
he was
romping in a kind of a happy dog way, the way dogs do and Labradors do.
I didn't notice him if he was romping. I just noticed him sort of coming up with the lead, with the dog, and or with the owner, and your man. I just noticed your man had the lead in his hand. Now, what the dog was doing beforehand, I didn't really take much notice because I didn't think he was going to do what he did.
Absolutely.
It was so quick. It was in a flash he did it. And when you're not expecting it, it is sort of frightening. But I must say, he didn't growl. He didn't try to bite me when your man just puts his hand down. He had a good collar on him and he just lifted the dog off me. And he just said, "What'd you do that for?" And he just did help me to back on my feet. And he asked me, was I all right? And I just nodded. I didn't know what I was doing, but he just said, "Are you all right? Take a deep breath." And then he was gone.
Well, I'm told by our producer here that the parks in Dublin are also governed by these bylaws.
Well,
that
this
say
is Fingal now. I don't know the laws there, but the police seem to think they're... Because I did say to the policeman, I'm sure there's a law against big dogs, especially big dogs, been without a lead, and he said no, there's no law against that.
Well,
there is unrestricted breeds.
Is that Sharon again?
Yeah, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, Sharon, react to that there now, because that is a classic story of somebody who you would, that dog wasn't obviously vicious or anything, but was not under control.
No. And again, it comes down to enforcement, Casey. You know, the current bylaws are not being enforced. And even where, you know, dogs should be on a lead, it's not being enforced. So if we had more enforcement, we wouldn't have issues like that. But, I mean, who's going to police Rush Beach at all hours of the day?
No,
you know,
this
when
is not a beach.
Happens?
No.
This was in a park. This was in the park.
Apologies. Well, again, it's down to enforcement. Now,
but forget about the enforcement for a second, Sharon. Isn't it down to the fact that this is what can happen when you don't have your dog on a leash?
Yeah, absolutely. And it can also happen when you have your dog on a leash. I mean, if I was walking on a public footpath with a Labrador on a leash, you know, if he jumped on a person walking beside me, you know, it would happen.
Yeah, I do agree. Yeah, if he's on a long leash, they don't have proper control even there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was just that. I don't mind the small dogs. They run around and have a great time. And I love to see them. Yeah. It's a different thing if a bigger dog lunges.
If it's a bigger dog, it sure is. Padre, you wanted to get in there.
Yeah, no, I think that's a terrible thing to have happened to your last speaker there, who was knocked over by the dog. And I'm around a long time. As I said, I'm retired. I've seen several instances of that happening where people, especially kids, are knocked over by dogs and scared. And, you know, really a very frightening episode. And that's the reality. I mean, I think Jessica and Sharon, the points they made, they're very rational, and they're talking about responsible dog owners. But, you know, dogs are dogs. That's their nature to romp around the place and be full of the joys of life, etc. And it can result in the kind of thing that happened to Liz. As I say, I've seen it many times.
Have you seen it? You've actually seen.
Oh, I have seen. I have seen many instances of that. Because I walk about three times a week out on our beaches here in the Howth area and around Howth Head, and I have certainly seen it. Including one instance that I saw. Will I mention it, Katie?
Go ahead.
Yeah, well, it's just briefly. It was what looked to me like a greyhound. Somebody explained to me that it might be a whippet. Anyway, to cut a long story short, this dog was bounding along the Borough Road beach and came out of nowhere very fast and attacked a smaller dog. And this lady had the smaller dog on a leash. But what ensued was really frightening. I thought that the smaller dog would be killed. Fortunately, it wasn't killed, but there was blood everywhere, and including on the hands of the owner. He was obviously very concerned at what happened. But I know that he had a bad laceration on his hand from what happened, and I could see him going down to the sea, and he wasn't able to stop the bleeding.
Is this the owner of the whippet or the owner of the small dog?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
But you should have seen the state of the little dog and the older lady who owned that dog. And I just thought to myself, this is just crazy. And really, as again some of your speakers said. It's so difficult for the dog warden service to cover every beach. They clearly can't. I mean, that'll never happen. And that, I think, may be part of the rationale for having a blanket rule that all dogs in a public place should be on a leash. Now, I accept the points that that's been overly restrictive. But there are ways around it. You hear of situations where in some parks or in designated areas in parks where dogs can run free either all day long or during designated hours. So there are ways around it. But as I say, what happened to Liz is that's not a unique occurrence. That's the reason that I think there needs to be a better balance between the rights of dog owners and those who don't have dogs and who are trying to enjoy the environment in the same way.
Sharon.
That's the key word, isn't it, though? Balance. And a total blanket ban 24/7, 12 months of the year is certainly not a balanced approach.
I don't agree with them on the leash all the time.
Yeah. Yeah,
but where do you draw the line then, Sharon? I mean,
well, perhaps you find hours of the day, or certainly, you know, we have options down here. We have three entry points onto our beautiful beaches: one at Laytown, and at Bettystown, and at Mornington. So perhaps you arrive at Bettystown, and you know, if you turn right, you know that dogs are allowed to be off lead. So you know, if you're not a dog owner and you're afraid of dogs, well then you turn left and walk the opposite direction, and you still have a walk on a beach. Or perhaps you know that from before 11 a.m. just like the horses, that you know there will be dogs off leashes before 11. But this all-out ban, I think it's just too extreme. I also think environmentally it will mean that the irresponsible dog owners will head to our sand dunes and let their dogs off the lead, out of sight up there, which is going to have a detrimental impact on the wildlife and the birds in our dune system.
Okay, Peter.
Hello.
you think that there's more than unruly dogs loose on beaches?
Well, from what I see, there's a lot of children are more unruly than dogs, and they're not on leads. And a lot of their owners leave things like disposable nappies on the beaches, which are far worse than dog poo.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's ridiculous to blame dogs just because a few people get nervous. You know, I mean, if I get nervous because I see a pigeon, are you going to stop pigeon fanciers from racing pigeons over my house?
But I think pigeons, you see, Peter,
the pigeons don't attack you and hurt you.
Well, either do dogs.
Well, this one did.
Well, then I'd blame the owner.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. Well,
one in 10,000, 20,000 dogs might attack. I don't know what the statistics are, but I'm sure there's far more people attacked by teenagers than there are by dogs every year.
But that's not my problem. My problem was a dog. So with that, I'm...
So brand all dogs as dangerous animals.
I don't think, to be fair, Liz was making the very...
dangerous animals.
Yeah. Sorry, Peter, I was just going to say, Liz has repeatedly said, actually, that she has no issue at all with small dogs, but that the particular dog that lunged at her shouldn't have been off a leash.
All right. Well, undoubtedly, there are irresponsible owners. And, you know, and they should be fined and they should be banned from owning dogs. But it's not fair to deprive ordinary dogs of exercise that they need. I mean, dogs need to be off the lead.
But... I think, Peter, is it that the world is kind of divided between people who think that dogs are great and they've no issue at all with dogs, and then there's a whole other bunch of people out there who are actually nervous around dogs and feel that they should be able to enjoy these amenities without having to worry about whether that dog is going to be kept under control?
Yeah, but I mean, I'd like to go into O'Connell Street without worrying about people sniffing glue. I don't see anybody tethering them up to a lamppost or anything, as they probably should. You know what I mean? You can't blame dogs. Dogs are the most...
Yeah, but those people are sniffing glue because they want to do it.
I didn't want to be knocked over
by a Labrador.
Well, if a person is nervous of dogs, to be much
I'm
better...
I'm not nervous of dogs. I've never had any trouble. I love dogs.
Okay, but anybody else who might have a problem?
There was an instance, and I think dogs should be kept under control.
I mean, I've been bitten. Okay.
If there's a certain poundage, I think they should be kept under control, under proper control.
Right, well,
I don't mind small dogs at all.
I've been bitten by dogs twice. Once I was jogging, and the dog came up and bit me on the shin, and another time I was in a house I'd never been in before, and I sat on the dog's couch, I didn't realise, and he came up and clamped my arm in his jaws. it didn't make me love dogs any less. You know,
you wouldn't be more nervous of dogs after those two experiences, no?
I love dogs.
but we don't want to be knocked over by them.
But it's like people. I mean, there's some people are dangerous, and there's some dogs are dangerous. There's some cats are probably dangerous. You know what I mean? It's just the way it is. But you can't just suddenly, you know, ban all dogs from beaches. If you saw the fun that a dog has on a beach without doing any harm to anybody else.
I wasn't on a beach.
Yeah, but yours is one isolated case.
No, well, Pather was...
You're talking about bringing in a law because of one or two cases.
I'm not talking about a law.
But what do you want?
I'm talking about the bigger dogs. I'm talking about bigger dogs of a certain poundage. They should be either controlled or they should be on a lead.
Peter?
Well, my dog isn't huge, but I think...
What kind of a dog do you have, Peter?
He's a Patterdale Terrier, it's a breed that needs a lot of exercise. I mean, I bring him out twice a day and we play ball and chasing, and I bring him for a swim a lot of the time if the weather's good. And
has he ever run off on you, or has he ever lunged at a stranger?
No, never. He's the most loyal, loving animal that anybody could possibly own. And, you know, I mean, to me, he's the equal of any human being. And I've lots of humans in my life that I love, but... You know what I mean? Dogs are just incredible animals. And if anybody's nervous of them, they should go down to their local rescue centre and take one out for a walk.
I'm not talking about you.
Okay, I'm not talking about you. There are other people in the world. Go down to your local rescue centre, take one of the dogs out for a walk, which they'll let you do, and just get to know the dogs and understand them. And you get more from a dog than...
But, Sir Pather, you know dogs and you understand dogs and you love dogs and you were still bitten twice.
Yeah. But it doesn't change my opinion on them.
It doesn't change your opinion. It might change somebody else's opinion if their mother or their child was bitten.
Sorry?
I'm saying it might change other people's opinion if their mother or their child was knocked over or their child was bitten.
Yeah, but if their house is burgled or they get mugged or their partner is murdered by somebody, are they going to stop hating all human? Are they going to start hating all human beings or be nervous of all human beings? Maybe they will, but you can't just blame everybody because of one or two cases. That's the same with dogs. Oh. Of course, there are dogs who aren't well handled by their owners, who aren't properly socialised, who aren't loved. But if a dog is given the correct attention, they'll respond to it, and they're the most lovable creatures on earth.
Okay, stay with us, Peter. Claire, what's your...
Hi, Katie. Hi.
Hi, Claire.
My concern would be for safety of people and dogs. I was walking three dogs on a beach in Donegal the back end of last year, and the three dogs were on leads. Early morning, fairly quiet, and everybody else, you know, there's lots of other dog people at the same time, and the dogs were all well controlled until two dogs appeared and they came over towards us, and I guess they wanted to play initially, and then they started barking, and it became quite a difficult situation because I was trying to hold my three dogs who naturally wanted to bark back. These two dogs were running around us, they were circling around us, and, you know, tempers were getting kind of frayed. And the owner of the two loose dogs was a good distance away from me, and they were really overweight, and it took them over 2 minutes to get to me to call the dogs off.
Well,
by which time I was in like a rugby scrum on the beach trying to hold my dogs down to protect them, protect myself. I ended up with pulled muscles. I hurt my back really badly. I could hardly get home. I was so sore and hurt afterwards, not to mention the trauma to the dogs. So I think, you know, on that occasion, it was a control issue.
Absolutely. And the owner of these dogs, were they apologetic when they got to you? Did they say this had never happened before? What was their response?
Not very. They were quite... quite unfit, and they were quite out of breath by the time they got to me, so they weren't even in a position to really control the dogs themselves. They just said to me, you know, "Are you all right, love?" And that was it.
That was a very scary situation, I imagine, was it?
It was, and there were actually a couple of other people who'd witnessed it, dog owners, and they came over to me and they helped me get back on my feet, and one man made sure I got back to my car. He had his dog as well, and offered to take me for a cup of tea and everything to calm down afterwards. So, yeah, it was a tough, like, 6 or 7 minutes.
And you, as you say, you had three dogs. You had them on their leads.
Yes.
Would you normally let them have a splash, let them off and let them have a run on the beach?
I wouldn't, because they're not my dogs. I would never let them out of my control because I'm afraid of something happening to them. You know, so I would always have them on leads. One of them is he's a rescue dog who's been through quite a traumatic history. So, you know, he was the one I was really concerned about because he gets very stressed and very traumatised, and then he can become, you know, his behaviour can be a bit kind of erratic. So, you know, from that point of view, I just keep them all close to me, and we have treats and balls, and we walk through the water and they splash and they have their fun that way. But, you know, I try to just control them as much as I can for their own safety.
And do you think that rule that we've been talking about, the bylaw that says that all dogs should be on leashes at all times on beaches, do you think that's a reasonable rule?
I don't think it is. And I don't think it's necessarily fair, because some dogs are impeccably trained, impeccably well behaved. But my feeling is that at the end of the day, dog versus dog, training can sometimes be forgotten about. They become instinctive, so you don't really know what's going to happen. So in some respects, I think, yes, they should all be controlled, but whether it's on a lead or not, I don't know.
OK, stay with us, Claire. Alex, what's your view on this?
Well, I've had both small dogs. I've had a Rottweiler for 12 years, and I used to try and go for a relaxing walk for them. But with other dogs being off the leads, I used to come back more stressed. Because they'd be off the lead, they'd be trying to attack him, even though he was a big dog, with a muzzle and under control.
Is there a rule for Rottweilers? Is a Rottweiler one of those breeds that you have to have muzzles?
Yes. Yes, unfortunately, he's passed away now. But he's, you know, I mean, I had him on the muzzle, I had him on the lead, and I had a Jack Russell as well, and I still have her 16 years, and she's always on the lead. No matter if you're in the park, on the beach, or walking on the street, your dog should be on a lead and muzzled. It saves all the problems with dogs biting each other, biting the owner, biting the child. If you're out of control, nothing can happen.
But I think a lot of owners would be very slow to put a muzzle on their dogs.
Listen, I have a small dog, and a dog is a dog at the end of the day. If another dog goes to bite it, it's going to bite back.
Yeah. And you had no issue, you have no issue, obviously, because you still have the Jack Russell, you say.
I still have two. I've won the rest.
And does the dog mind the muzzle?
No. Look, it's like they get used to it. It's like wearing shoes, you know, they get used to them afterwards. They're just, you know, you have to make it comfortable for them. You can get a cloth type one, or you can get the hard cage one, but the cloth one is better.
I mean, we've been hearing from other dog owners who say that, you know, this idea of having the full-on 24/7 ban on dogs running free on beaches is too extreme.
No, it's not too extreme.
You think we need that?
They can still get... I have a lead that you can let it 4 metres long. You can still run with a dog like that on the beach, can't you?
Well, I suppose it depends on how fast your dog wants to run.
Well, that's it. Depends on how fast you can run.
Exactly, yeah. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, but you can still run. You could get on a bike and cycle beside the dog on the beach and still let him run in front of you.
Okay, stay there, Alex. Ron, how are you? What's your view on this, Ron?
My main view is I've had dogs since I was 7. I got my first dog when I was 7, and I'm in my 60s now, and I've never been without a dog in my life. And I have two dogs now at the moment. Both of them are Jack Russell Cross, Chihuahua, long-haired Jack Russell Cross, and another younger dog, Jack Russell Cross. Now, I've had the younger dog attacked by a Staffordshire dog, which was running free. And I'm just of the opinion that the laws, like that chap there talking there now about having one of his dogs on a muzzle, I totally agree with that, especially the dogs that are supposed to be muzzled. And I just, like, I walk down the street and I see owners of dogs with, you know, bull terriers and German shepherds and different dogs that are on the list for to be muzzled, and they're just not muzzled, and there's nobody doing anything about it. I never ever see, I personally think that if a person is walking a bull terrier or whatever with a Delta muzzle, that the police should stop and tell them that if they see them again, they'll find them. I walk my own dogs in the park, and I do let my dogs run free, but I put my dogs on the lead if they even look crosswise at another dog, and every single dog that I meet and every single dog walker that we meet, when we pass them, immediately we pass them, I treat my dogs. Immediately we see them, I distract them by treating my dogs. I carry treats with me all the time, and that's the recommended way to train dogs with regards to other dogs. You know, as soon as I see the other dogs, I take the treat out, and sometimes, you know, the other owners stop and the dogs have a chat with each other, and I treat their dogs as well.
But we've heard from other dog owners there today, Ron, that saying that, you know, it's you can train your dog and you can have a lovely personality dog, but at the end of the day, dogs are instinctive creatures, and you know, if they think they're being attacked or they think they're being cornered, they could react.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Like, I feel that I've had other dogs become very aggressive towards my dogs at times. It almost felt as if the other dogs were getting aggressive because my dogs were ignoring them, which is in a way it's not like dogs, but you know, I totally understand. I'm kind of, I haven't got a totally set opinion.
That's what I'm thinking. You're in two minds on this one, Ron, aren't you?
No, it's not even two minds. It's just other than the fact that I love dogs, and I think that excessive control of dogs is not good for the dog's nature. Basically, I seek out places like just fields near me where I can go It's normally in the winter I'd walk St. Kilda, I'd go into the parks, but there are fields near me that I can go and just let my dogs run free. And I'd love to see a dog being a dog. All dogs will hunt, and I love to see my dogs hunting, although they've never caught anything. They're too small dogs. But I love to see that nature of the dog hunting. And I think this sort of excessive control and teaching the dogs loads of... I don't like teaching dogs tricks. I like to... Okay, I teach my dogs to sit and stay. No further than that, other than to ignore other dogs and people when I'm walking with them.
Okay, okay. Ron, we'll leave that one there. We're going to have to take a break. 1850 715 815.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Or email joe at rte.ie. We've been talking about dogs and leashes and rules around dogs on beaches and parks. Deirdre, you had a very traumatic experience just 4 weeks ago.
Yeah, 4 weeks ago yesterday. I was walking the beach, Dollymount Beach, with my two dogs, Teddy and Amber. And Teddy is a Bichon Frise. Amber is a little teacup terrier, tiny little thing. Anyway, Teddy, on his lead, we're rambling down the beach at about 8 a.m. And then I saw two dogs over near the sand dunes. They were beige, lovely-looking dogs. They were like, I thought in the distance, Labradors. And then they started to walk, jog towards us. And then I realised, oh, my God, I'm in trouble here. These aren't two Labradors. They looked like a cross. I haven't got it confirmed exactly the type of dogs, but they were... They're kind of a cross between mastiffs and pit bulls.
That's what they look like, anyway, as you say. We don't know exactly what they were. Yeah.
Yeah. And one of them came straight for me. I'm sure was going to try and get Amber from my arms, but I had a stick with me. The other guy went straight for Teddy, dragged Teddy away from me. I was trying to hit the other dog from Amber and myself. Lucky I had that stick. I was bashing its face, bashing it eventually.
And was this dog actually attacking, trying to bite you, or what was the dogs doing?
Well, one dog had Teddy down. You know the way they lock on their necks? He had Teddy down. Teddy was screaming and crying. The other guy was like just kind of trying to, like as if he was coming at me to, and looking up at Amber, like as if he was going to, about to jump to try and get Amber. But I just couldn't take that chance of let him get the first punch. Me, when he was looking at me and looking up at Amber and coming at me, I just had to hit him away. I said, get away, get away. And then I had to hit him on the face because he wouldn't go away. When I was saying go away, he wouldn't. So I eventually had to hit him on the face with the stick. He then circled me, came around to me on the other side. I said, get away. I was screaming at him. And I had to hit him again on the face. I was hitting him hard on the face. Eventually, he knew. He lost interest, walked away. He went over to the other dog and joined in as they just ripped Teddy apart. And they wouldn't stop. I went over then and I was hitting the two of them, trying to get the two of them off Teddy while he was screaming and crying. And
you were still holding Amber.
Still had Amber in one hand and a stick in the other hand, bashing the two dogs, trying to get them off. The stick eventually broke on one of their heads. And then I knew I was vulnerable and I just thought, oh my God, I just didn't know what was going to happen because it was going on and on and on. And during this time, I'm screaming, someone help me, please, someone help me. Because I thought the owner has to turn up. Where is he? And I just thought, he's going to come out, he's going to call his dogs off, he's going to help. But there was nothing happening. Nobody around, nobody came out. And I'm standing there with a broken stick. I'm thinking, oh my God, we are all finished. And then when Teddy stopped screaming and he went limp like a rag doll, the dog just dropped him, obviously thinking he's dead. And the two of them then just jogged off back over to sand dunes. And I was left with Teddy with all his skin on the back. He was raw. I could see his neck, everything. The skin from his back was all peeled off. And I was screaming, crying, someone help me, please. At the top of my voice, it was a calm morning. You could not have not heard me. I was screaming and shouting, please, someone help me. And then eventually two men came along. They had a few little dogs with them. He came along. One guy took his T-shirt off for me. He said, your dog looks to me like he's still alive, just about. So I called the police immediately. He told me to do that. I didn't know what to do, only for the two men. I called the police. I had to put Teddy's skin back up on his body, so that I wouldn't hurt him, so I could get the T-shirt over him and under him and pick him up as gently as I could. He was crying, so I knew he was alive then.
And so again, Teddy was, he's a Bichon Frise. Yeah, those little 12. White dogs.
Yeah, he's 12. He was kind of going deaf. His eyesight was declining. He'd only got a few little teeth left in his mouth. He was like a little old man, just rambling along, as happy as Larry on that beach with me, on his lead, with his body harness on him, enjoying the morning with me, as we always did. And he hadn't got a hope in hell against those two dogs. Anyway, I got up to the roundabout. This was down at the St. Anne's end. I got to the roundabout. Three guards were there. Brilliant help. Very nice. One of them drove me up to the veterinary hospital. Another one, the other guys looked after Amber for me. I got up to the vets. I was in an awful state. They all came in. The team of vets in Rohini were incredible people. So helpful. They were doing their best. They said, listen, there's not much hope for Teddy. They called me and they had him wrapped. They did their best for him. They had him on morphine. He said, look, we have him really on a lot of morphine. Don't worry about him at the moment. He's not in pain right now, but you're going to have to make a decision here. So I was devastated, waited till my husband, my son, my daughter, my sister was with me. We were all there. They were all comforting me. I was in bits. And I had to make that decision because Teddy may not survive if they even try the torture of trying to fix him. So I got his ashes back on Saturday. His ashes, his paw print. And it's terrible. It's devastating. And these two dogs should have been, they would be on the list for dangerous dogs to have muzzled. Now, to be honest, personally, I wouldn't mind any dog running the beach without leads. It's lovely. You can almost see the smiles on their faces. They love it. But if your dog is on the list, the reason he's on the list is because you know, some people say, oh, my dog is sweet. He's lovely. We don't know our dog's 100%. But even if your dog is sweet, it's just the fact that they're strong. So if a dog pounces on you or a child or your own dog, you just literally can't get them off. And that's why some of them are on the list, even if they're cute dogs. So any dog on the list, or if you have a dog that might be a little cranky guy, little cranky fella, just have them muzzled. It doesn't hurt them. It keeps everybody safe. If those dogs had been muzzled, nothing would have happened to us on the beach. Everybody would have had a good time.
And
so,
Deirdre, I know that you have suspicions about who the owners of those dogs are. We won't go there.
We won't go there today.
But just to go back, I that must have been the most horrific
worst
experience to see
worst
your dog,
day.
Your lovely pet.
Yeah, horrible, horrible, and then I could do nothing for him.
Yeah.
You know, the heartbreaking bit is really that in 2009, Teddy was only about two, almost three. I was diagnosed with breast cancer. I went through chemo, radiotherapy. Teddy was with me morning, noon and night, never left my side. All those months that I spent in bed, sick, he was beside me. And I just felt, we really had a bond with him. We really were mad about each other. And I just felt that when this was happening to him, I couldn't help him. That's what killed me. So that's why I know I did my best to bash those dogs from him and scream. I did all I could do on the beach, but it kills me. And, you know, the first few days, there was a lot going on where we'd spotted the guys and the dogs and everything, and I was on autopilot. But it's now, as the time has gone by and the house is quieter and I miss him, you know, because I would have brought him everywhere with me, the shops, the bank, everything. He was always with me. He was with me in the house everywhere. And I miss him terribly beside me. It's so sad. They're a family member.
I was going to say, I think anyone who has a much loved dog or a pet in the house like that, they are part of the family.
They are. Yeah.
They're not just a dog, as people say.
So I would love, you know, the government want to hear from us. They gave us an email address, and all anybody has to do is takes 3 minutes. Write a little paragraph of what you think, you feel personally, you would like the new rules. They want to update the law because it's not strong enough now for my case. I can do nothing legally for Teddy now. But if we could update the law, personally, me, I would like that if your dog is on the list or if he's a cranky guy, just put muzzles on them. They can enjoy their walk. Everybody can feel a little bit safer. And if you are prosecuted for anything where a dog has attacked, I think you should not be allowed on another dog. If anybody wants to check out Switzerland, they have a great thing going. You know,
you have to register and you have to be accountable and responsible. The other thing is, a lot of people have said, oh, my dog, he's on the list, but he's really lovely. He'd never do that. Now, none of us know 100% about what a dog will or wouldn't do. But they'd say he's so cute, I can bounce my three-year-old on him and he'd never hurt her or whatever. You just don't know the day it turns. But also what they're forgetting is, if their dog does turn someday and pick on another dog or have an incident with a child, hopefully not ever, they have to put their own dog down. And that's where, so if they're going out with their dogs without muzzles, they're risking their own dogs that they love. They would have to make that decision to put their dog down if he is in an attack or event, an episode. So that's what they need to remember as well. By them going out and putting muzzles on their dogs, they're minding their dog properly for their dog's safe and their own safety, everyone else. So I just find that it's, you know, there's a lot of people there. I don't want to muzzle my dog. He's on the list, but he's lovely. I think it's so irresponsible and selfish of them.
And how many dogs are on that list? I mean, I think a lot of us would think of pit bull terriers, mastiffs. What other kind of breeds are breeds that
well,
that
a lot
have
of people don't realise it, but huskies are on it. There's German shepherds. I know there's fabulous German shepherds out there. Lovely family pets. But, you know, someday you'd never know what might just freak them out. And they're too strong then to fight off.
I've seen a lot of German shepherds without muzzles out for walks with their owners, I have to say.
But they're supposed to have them. So, you know, we go everywhere and we see on the post, there's signs, you know, pick up the dog poop. Now, we're all embarrassed and mortified to not pick it up. And you can be fined if you don't. Everybody goes around picking up. Well, everybody I know does. And I think it's great. So there should be signs that you have to muzzle your dog. If he's on the list and you know he's on the list, if you get those dogs, actually it's too easy as well for people to buy dogs and dogs being passed around, which is why in Switzerland you have to register if you're buying a dog. You register properly, chip and all that. But now here in Ireland, anybody can get a dog anywhere, buy, sell, whatever. I don't know some of them get them from. But those dogs, we should have even signs. Those people should be mortified to not muzzle their dogs. They should be.
Yeah, that there should be some kind of social
embarrassment. And actually, we need to be strong enough to be able to say to people, your dog is supposed to be muzzled. You know, he is on the list. It doesn't have to be a big fight, you know, on the streets. It's just, hey, you do know that your dog really should be muzzled. Because some people actually probably don't and maybe need to be educated on that.
Okay, Deirdre, I don't know what to say. That it was just the most horrific experience, and I hope that you know, something good comes of it. That there is some change down the line. We've got another caller in who's had a similar experience. Veronica.
Hello, Katie.
Hi, Veronica. Tell me your story.
I had two small dogs, like they'd be the same size as terriers, and I was out walking with them, and up behind my house there's a big car park with fields around it, and I check, and if there's no dogs around, I let them off to have a run, and one of them says, right, she never leaves my side, whereas the other one would go sniffing the ditches and have a little look around the place. And this time she was about 10 feet away from me, and out from one of the fields came two big black Dobermans,
right,
and they chased after the little one, and they caught her in their mouths and they shook her like a rag doll. And then a man ran out of the field trying to control his dogs, and I was running after his dogs trying to get saved my dog. And I had the other one as well, so I put the lead on her and I ran with her to try and get the dog out of their mouths, but they turned on the other dog then that I had with me and were trying to go for her as well, and I was kicking, and I didn't have a stick with me, but I was kicking him away and trying to hiss him away. And I managed to keep him away from the second one, but the other little one was killed, so she was.
Oh, God, I'm so sorry for you.
Yeah,
that's
just tough. Yeah. Mm. And they were big Dobermans, you know, so they should have at least have been muzzled, you know.
And was anything done about the other dogs, or did they all walk off?
No, I rang the guards, and the man did wait around with the two dogs, but he was under pressure to try and control them because they're still going for my other dog. So I had to walk away from him, and the guards came and they removed the dogs from him, so they did.
Mm. And then it's all too late. You can't bring your little dog.
It's too late. No, I can't. And then I have to ring my three daughters and tell them that one of their pets, they couldn't believe that. Because she was a little rescue dog and we'd had her for 7 years. She's just a little dolt. So
heartbreaking.
It's like, it is heartbreaking. It is. Mm. And I like the other lady. I think I have no problem with dogs running on the beach as long as you clean up after them. But big dogs, they should be muzzled. Yeah. They really should, especially the dangerous ones.
And did the owner of these Dobermans, did he seem to be surprised at what was going on, or was it? Did you get any sense that this was an unusual thing for these dogs to do?
Well, what he said, he lets them off in the field, and to his dogs, thought my dog was a cat or a fox, and it just took off. They didn't mean anything by it. And I said, it doesn't matter. Shouldn't be chasing cats or foxes. I said
exactly.
They shouldn't be killing anything. They shouldn't be
killing anything.
No, they shouldn't be killing anything. They should have been muzzled.
Mm.
So I do know the dogs were removed from him.
I was just going to say, he lost those dogs forever then, that the dogs were taken from him.
They were, yeah.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah. So I just thought I'd share that with you. That, you know, that's, dogs should, the big dogs, if they're anyway dangerous, they should have a muzzle on them.
Yeah. Okay.
And be in control of the owner at all times.
And an irresponsible owner should never be allowed to own another dog again.
No, they shouldn't.
Mm. Okay, I'm going to have to take a break. Deirdre, Veronica, we're such sorry for what you had to witness and for the big loss you have in your houses there with your lovely pets.
Thank you. Can I just say last there, please, people, email the government. Just a little paragraph and tell them what you would like.
What department is that the email to go to, Deirdre?
I'd have to look it up here exactly, so I'll text it into you maybe if you want to say it yourself later.
Okay, Deirdre,
all right.
Veronica, thank you for that. 1850 715 815.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Deirdre Butler, Deirdre, you were bitten by a dog yourself.
I was, Katie. Yeah, a good few years ago, I got an awful bite from a dog. I ended up having surgery on my arm. I was out for a walk, and it was a Labrador dog. He must have been. I don't think he was a full Labrador dog. And he gave me an awful doing.
So what happened? Was the dog with an owner? Was it off a lead? Describe the situation.
He was loose. He was off a lead, and I don't know who owned him. But I ended up having to go to the hospital, and the consultant Frank Cunningham. Now he's not there. It was Our Lady's Hospital in Navan. It's a brilliant hospital, and they operated on me. And Frank Cunningham said to me, he said, did you report that? Did you go to the garage for that? I said, no, God, I didn't. He said, when you leave this hospital, he said, you report that above in the Kells Garda station, which I did. And I went up and I just reported above in the Garda station.
But you didn't know who owned the dog, or you couldn't?
I didn't know who owned the dog, Katie. I hadn't a clue who owned the dog. But I was out for a walk, and he just went for me, just jumped up at me. Now, I'm terrified of big dogs, terrified of them. And he jumped up at me, and I tried to get him away, and he just grabbed me, and he had his teeth on me arm.
Wow.
So he had, I got
it. Sounds like you had a lucky escape, actually, Deirdre.
Well, the consultant said to me, he said, this is very, very serious, he said. He said, if I had to be a diabetic, he said, I would have had to lose my arm. And lucky for that, I hadn't. But when I went into the hospital to examine me and all, and I had a lump under my arm, the blood poison was going through me. That was in Navan in for a week. It was in on a drip and it was under surgery. And I had to go on then to James's in Dublin.
I take it then you'd be in favour of muzzles for big dogs as well.
Oh, I would. I surely would now be in favour like of a muzzle, because you can't trust a dog. I mean, you could be out there on the beach maybe, and a dog maybe it'd go and attack someone. You know, it's so dangerous with these dogs.
And the thing, Labradors, you wouldn't associate Labradors with any viciousness, really. They're kind of seen as perfect family pets, Labradors,
like
with lovely manners.
But I don't, Yeah, but I don't think, Katie, he was a full... He was a cross. I think he wasn't a full Labrador, because there's no way a Labrador dog would go for you. But he obviously wasn't a full Labrador. He must have been a cross between the...
Indeed, yeah. And did you make a full recovery, Deirdre?
I did. Now, I was... I have a scar now on my arm, but, like, I was going up and down to the hospital for about 2 years. So I was... You know, I still... It might pain me now and again, but look, it doesn't give me... It might swell up and things like that. But if it does swell up, I just have to go down to the GP and he'd look after it.
Okay.
You know.
I'm glad to hear that you got the surgery you needed at the time you needed it, Deirdre.
Oh, yeah. Our hospital is a brilliant hospital, Our Lady's Hospital in Avon. You couldn't fault it. It's a brilliant hospital. We're trying to keep it open, you know, and campaign to keep it open because it's a brilliant hospital. There's great doctors above in it now, so there is.
Okay.
You know.
Okay, thanks for that, Deirdre.
No problem,
sure they'd be delighted,
Katie,
to hear that up in Our Lady's. Paul.
Yes, Katie.
How are you, Paul?
I'm not too bad, Katie. I was very distraught there listening to the two dogs down on Dollymount. I was very distraught. I just had to turn off the radio when you were talking to another person whose dog was attacked by two Dobermans, was it?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, I just had to turn it off. I just couldn't listen to any more. I was very, very upset because I lost my beautiful Lucy on the 3rd of May last. She wasn't attacked, no. She had been suffering with cancer and I lost her to thyroid cancer on the 3rd of May last. She was 14. She was a beautiful lady and I had her 14 years. I originally got her as a rescue, which I had been told by my vet, Michael Hatton in Marino, that she was about 10 months old at the time. But in actual fact, I had been told by the people who gave me her as a rescue that she was 2 years old. But she was a fabulous little dog. And I would recommend anybody who lives alone to have a pet, a dog or a cat or something like that, because they'll never be lonely.
Yeah, that's what we were saying that to Deirdre and to Veronica, that, you know, the house, how big a place a dog can have in a house, in a family, and what a huge loss it was for them. And then for them to have to witness such a horrific death for their lovely
dogs. Oh, I think
that's
horrendous. Absolutely horrendous to have to go through that. And the person who owned those two dogs that attacked her little Bichon should be prosecuted and shouldn't be allowed have dogs. And it's appalling that the laws aren't enforced in this country when it comes to licensing of dogs or enforcement of dog regulations. Like, every dog should be microchipped, that's the law, and they should all wear muzzles, because that way, you know, they're under control, complete control of the owner.
So you lost, as you say, your lovely Lucy in May. You're still grieving.
Yeah, and I'm still upset about it.
Yeah.
Because I had her for 14 years. She was my constant companion. And when I retired last year, I used to work at the airport, and I retired last year. When I go to work, the lady who ran the pet creche down the road from me, she used to take Lucy. And she was the only one that had a key to my home. And she'd take Lucy and look after her during the day, and I'd pick her up in the evening. And then Lucy and I would be, because I used to work a four-day week, Lucy and I would be together for 3 days of the week, and we used to go up to Northwood in Century, where there's a dog walking group, and we used to have great fun up there with the other dogs, because she got on great with other dogs.
And are you going to get another dog, Paul?
I will eventually, but I don't think, if you're a genuine dog lover, you can't just turn around and get another dog tomorrow after you lose your best friend. I think I will need some time to cope with the situation, to learn to cope with the situation. Like any death in the family, it takes time.
Of course.
And people say, well, you know, get a grip on life. It's only a dog. She wasn't a dog to me. She was my best friend.
Oh, okay. Paul, good luck with that. And hopefully you will get to a place where you will be able to get another dog and another best friend down the line.
Thank you.
Thanks, Paul. Sharon.
Hi, how are you?
You're a dog owner yourself.
I am, yeah.
We've had a lot of very, very horrific stories there about what can happen when dogs are not controlled properly. But where do you stand on the leash issue?
I didn't hear the previous speaker, I'm sorry, but my beliefs are is that I think that dogs have a right to run, and I do think that they have a right to designated areas, spaces and places. So if there were certain times allocated to dogs where we know, other people would know, through signs, that they could run and have time off the lead, I think that's fair. I think humans as a whole do not control or should own all of the spaces.
Okay, so dogs have rights too, basically. And would you be earlier we were talking to a caller who had said maybe perhaps designated times of the day should be dogs should be allowed to roam free on beaches or in parks.
Yes, I do. Or even designated places where it doesn't have to be every place, you know. But I think if there were certain spaces, certain parks in every local area where we know that we can go to this place with our dogs, we have a certain time allocated to our dogs that they can roam, I think that would be fair. Because then you will be taking everybody's needs into consideration.
Okay, thanks for that, Sharon. Mary.
Hi, Katie.
Hi, Mary. You have a dog as well?
I do. I'm a dog owner, yes. And I was walking my dog on the beach in Curraghclough in September last year. My dog was on the lead. And suddenly, from the dunes, this kind of biggish dog, it looked like a lovely dog, kind of a cross between a lurcher and a wolfhound. He came running, obviously, to play with my dog, but in doing so, he came with the wind behind him and came right through me, knocking me to the ground, and in doing so, fractured my left knee severely, damaged my right shoulder, which eventually needed a full shoulder replacement. And I had to have surgery on my knee, and following that surgery, I had to be non-weight-bearing for at least 3 months. And because of the damage to my shoulder, I wasn't able to use crutches, so I ended up in a wheelchair for over 3 months. When my knee was, well, it's not healed completely, but when I got over the surgery, I had the shoulder replacement in April. So it takes about a year and a half to recover from a full shoulder replacement, and it can take up to 2 years to recover from the type of fracture I had on my knee. The type of fracture I sustained is normally associated with a road traffic accident, or skiers tend to get that type of fracture that I sustained.
So were you on your own on Curraghclough Beach when this happened?
I was on my own with my dog, yeah. And my husband would normally be with me, but he wasn't that day. And there were two couples with the dog. They were sitting up in the dunes, and I didn't see them. Like, and the dog obviously just saw my dog and decided he wanted to come and play. So when I was knocked down, I wasn't able to get up, and no one was coming towards me initially. But eventually one of the guys came down and he said to me, "Are you all right?" And I said, "Well, I'm sorry, I can't get off the ground." But another lady happened to be coming along, and she saw what had happened, and she kind of took over. She was brilliant. She looked after me, got her husband to come down to drive me home. And I never got the owner's names or anything. No follow-ups. And I wasn't offered them either, I suppose.
God, and here you are now still dealing with the after effects of all of that.
It is. And you know, the saddest part about it is that I've got nervous of dogs now. And being a dog owner myself, you know, and I don't, how about I put it, I think it's okay to have your dog off a lead. It's the control. If you can't have control over your dog, the dog shouldn't be off the lead.
Okay, we Deirdre, who told us that horrific story about her beautiful dog being torn apart, yeah, in front of her on Dollymun Strand. She mentioned a consultation to in relation to dog control, and I have the details of it here. Public consultation on a review of measures relating to the control of dogs in Ireland. It's been carried out by the Department of Rural and Community Development. The submissions are open now from the 1st of July, and they'll close on the 6th of September at 17:30. And it's dogsconsultation@drcd.gov.ie. dogsconsultation@drcd.gov.ie if you want to put in your tuppence worth there in relation to the control of dogs in Ireland.